The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
Turn with me, if you would, please, to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter number 6. And we're going to look at this 6th chapter, but we're going to begin by just reading 2 verses in Matthew chapter number 6. And we begin in verse number 3, which I'm sure and confident is a very familiar passage of Scripture to you. Matthew chapter number 6, and we'll read verse 33 and 34. The Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we have this opportunity here in the early hours of the day, in the midst of our busy schedules, to come together to hear from you. And we pray, Lord, that as we open your book, that you would speak to us by your Spirit. Give us that spiritual bread that we so desperately need in our lives today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to note, if you would please, in verse number 33, the Bible said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." That's the title of the message this morning, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And when we look at that phrase, I think there are two important questions that immediately come to our mind. Number one, what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Well, to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness means that we make it the primary aim, the primary goal of our lives to seek him. To seek God means, first of all, to believe on him. I trust that you know the Lord is your Savior, that you've turned from sin and from self unto Jesus. First of all, we must believe on him. Then we must choose to follow him and to obey him. And beyond that, to dedicate our lives in service to him. In order to seek God's kingdom, we must recognize that he is a king, and that his kingdom is not of this world. And we must be willing to submit ourselves, our lives, to the sovereign rule of God, to bring ourselves under his authority. As Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, we are commanded to yield our lives to the Lord, our bodies, our mind, our goals, our aims, our pursuits in life are to be completely given over to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question this morning. Who's making the decisions? Who's making the decisions in your life? I hope that you've submitted and yielded to the Lord. I want to encourage you this morning, give the Lord the keys to your life. A second question that arises as we look at this passage is not only what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God, but how do we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And that is the thrust of what I want to speak to you about this morning, and we find three thoughts in this passage that I want to share with you as we consider how it is that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what we'll understand that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we can trust that God is going to take care of our needs. I want you to notice, first of all, that if we seek him, we are to seek him sincerely. Seek him sincerely. In verses 1 through 18 of this sixth chapter, the Lord Jesus is addressing three areas of service and devotion to the Lord. He addresses in verses 1 through 4 the aspect or the area of giving. In verses 5 through 6, he addresses the area of prayer. In verses 16 through 18, the area of fasting. These were areas of devotion, aspects of devotion that characterized the life of the Jewish people. We, for the sake of time, can't look at all of these verses, but let's look together at verses 1 through 4. Notice the Bible says here, "Take heed that ye do not your alms," that is your giving. "Do not your alms before men to be seen of them." Here he is addressing the motive of their service. When you come to worship me, when you come and bring your offerings to me, make sure that you're not doing so so that others will recognize your devotion. Notice again in verse 1, "Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." Verse 2, "Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee." Imagine that. I'm going to give, so you're going to have somebody play a trumpet in front of you because you want everybody to know that you're a pretty good guy, you're a pretty good gal, that you love God and that you're going to give, and you want people to think highly of you. And notice what the Lord says. They have, verse number 2, the very close, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Their reward is that they want the applause and the approval of men. Do you know, you have to be careful in the service of the Lord that you don't get caught up in what other people think. That you're not merely going through the motions of religious life so that people will think favorably of you. This speaks of your motive. Verse 3, "But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret." In other words, there's no desire on your part for anybody to see you doing it. You are giving to God because you love God, because he is worthy of your worship. He's worthy of your giving. He has given all to you. And because you sincerely love him and sincerely desire to please him, you are demonstrating to him that he has all of you, including your income. He says that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Let me ask you a question. What reward do you want? The temporary applause and approval of men, or the eternal blessing of God? If you're going to seek the Lord, make sure that you are seeking him sincerely. You're not making a deal with God. You've not entered into a contract. You know, "Lord, as long as you allow me to be in a relationship with this person, I'm going to serve you. As long as I can be approved and accepted in this program or by this group of people, I'm going to serve you." You see, we're pretty good at that, negotiating with God and laying conditions on the Lord. But are we willing to serve God absent any conditions? Are we willing to sincerely worship him? It's an age-old question. You remember the book of Job, the most ancient book of the Bible, and when the devil came before the Lord asked him a question. God says in verse number 8 of Job chapter number 1, "And the Lord has said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan in verse 9 answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Do you know what the devil was saying? He was saying, you know, Lord, you're not really worthy of worship. The only reason that Job worships you is because you take such good care of him. You've given him a wonderful wife and children, and you've blessed him. He's the wealthiest man. And I'm going to tell you, if you just touch him and you take all that away, he will not worship you. He will curse you to your face. And so the Lord said, well, I'm not going to touch him, but I'll allow you to do so. And in one moment, everything in Job's life changed. He was sitting in his office one morning, and the oxen he heard were gone. One of the men came in and said, the oxen are gone. And as soon as he had come in, one said, the donkeys are gone. And another said, the sheep are gone. And then came in another and said, the camels are gone. And then came in another with the most heartbreaking news. Your children are gone. You see, when you get news like that, if you're only serving God for what you get out of it, then you're not going to keep serving the Lord. I love the response of Job. In Job chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible said, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. You see, he worshiped God before and he worshiped God after. Before, when he had wealth, after, when it was gone. Before, when it looked like he was being blessed, and afterwards, when it looked as if he was being judged of the Lord. Verse 21, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I want to tell you, in that moment, Job was not conscious of this fact, but all the host of heaven and all the host of hell were watching to see how Job would respond, because God's honor was at stake. And I want you to know that when Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord, all of heaven praised the name of Jesus. And all of hell shirked in despair. I want you to know that our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, he is worthy of your worship. He is worthy of your devotion, your giving, your praying, your fasting, your all in all. Have you given to him your all in all? Are you seeking him first? May God help us to seek him, number one, sincerely. The second thing we learn in this passage is not only that we are to seek him sincerely, but we are to seek him supremely. We are to seek him supremely above all things. Notice, if you would please, with me in verse number 33, yet again, the Bible says, but seek ye first. Underscore that in your Bible if you would. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. In verse number 19, the Lord Jesus says, to these group of people who have assembled to hear him, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Notice verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You see, the struggle that you and I are engaged in this morning is a struggle between two masters. Are we going to serve the Savior, or are we going to serve self? You see, self loves the things of this world. The question is, are we going to seek God, or are we going to seek goods? You know, the good old American dream, let's go to college, let's get a degree, let's get a job, let's make money, let's get married, let's have kids, let's have a family, let's build a retirement portfolio, let's enjoy our lives. Let me tell you, our lives consist of far more than that. We are here for a purpose, and that purpose is to serve the true and the living God. You may not be called to ministry as a pastor or a youth pastor or a missionary, but I want all of you to know you have all been called into full-time Christian living and full-time Christian service. You may be a plumber. You may be an accountant. It doesn't matter what you vocationally pursue. I want you to understand that our primary goal in life is to pursue the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that goal is above all other goals. And that goal determines the course of our lives. The Jews were distracted by a preoccupation with an accumulation of things. It sounds much like modern day America, right? Treasures, food. They said in John 6, evermore give us this bread. They were willing to follow Jesus as long as the fish sandwich shop was open. But when he closed it down and said, look, don't labor for the meat that perishes. Labor for that bread that is eternal and everlasting. They said, we're not interested. They were concerned about their drink, their clothing, their necessities. They were concerned about an abundance of things, but they failed to understand that the abundance of those things do not produce lasting joy. And there are those who are ensnared by the chains of wealth. And by the way, you don't have to have wealth to be ensnared by them. You can have no wealth and wish you had it and still be ensnared by the same chain. You see, we're to seek God, not goods. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That doesn't sound very appealing, does it, in our Western culture? Let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross. Do you know where the cross leads you? It leads you to the place of death. Denial and death to self. Let me tell you, the hardest lesson that you are learning right now and will learn the rest of your days is to learn to deny yourself and to learn to die to self. I hope you're beginning to figure out that this is not about you. It's all about him. And follow me. Well, where are we going, Jesus? I'll go with you as long as, you know, this person gets to come along. I'll go with you as long as it includes this geographical place. The Lord doesn't make deals like that. The Lord said, you don't need those answers. I have all those answers. You just need to follow me. Are you willing to follow him? Verse 25, he says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You know, the person that has it all mapped out. Maybe you're here this morning, you got it all figured out. I'm going to graduate with this degree. I'm going to marry this person. We're going to live in this town. We're going to have a white picket fence and a dog named Fluffy and two or three kids. And this is the way it's going to be. When I hear those stories, I just kind of grin. And my heart aches just a little bit because I know the disappointments that they're going to face. You see, you don't have to have all those answers because you know the one who does have all those answers. And his name is Jesus. If you try to save your life, if you try to guard against all the difficulties that life may throw at you, if you try to assure yourself that you're going to have a smooth pattern of life, I want you to know that you'll lose it. But the Lord said, whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. If you say, Lord, here's my life. Take my life and let it be. I want to tell you what God will do. He'll bless you abundantly. I remember when I was a student at the University of Tennessee, and I was thinking about what it is I wanted to do, and I had a desire in my heart, but I had pressure from staff and faculty at the school and from my friends to say, well, you need to do this. If you're going to make a living, if you're going to have a life, these are the things you need to do. I remember listening to them. I'll be honest with you, I don't remember spending the time I needed to spend in prayer seeking God to find out what God wanted me to do. And finally, as a college senior about to graduate, I recognized something. I recognized that my life belonged to the Lord, and I decided to give it over to him. I was a believer. I was saved on my way to heaven, but I had not yielded control of my life to the Lord Jesus. If you had given me a blank sheet of paper and said, Scott, fill out this piece of paper with everything you want in life, I would have gladly filled it out. But if I had filled it out, I want you to know that I would have fallen far short of what God wanted to give me. You see, by giving that piece of paper over to Him and allowing Him to fill in those spaces, allowing Him to choose my wife, allowing Him to choose my path and the place of service and the calling He had on my life, allowing God to take care of that, I want you to know I couldn't have imagined all the wonderful riches that I had awaiting me in the person of the Lord Jesus and in a life of service to Him. Oh, I want you to know we need to give our lives to the Lord Jesus. Paul, as he was going back to Jerusalem, was warned not to go. Paul, don't you understand? If you go back to Jerusalem, they're going to arrest you and they're going to more than likely put you to death. And Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 24, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, the things of this world don't affect me. They don't upset me. They don't throw me off course. I want to stay on course for the Lord Jesus. So how are we to seek Him? Well, number one, we're to seek Him sincerely. Number two, we are to seek Him supremely above all other things. And then number three, we are to seek Him surely. We're to seek Him surely. Look with me again in verse 25, would you? The Bible said, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? You know, this morning, this auditorium is filled with sophomores in college who are wondering, how am I going to make it through the day? How am I going to pass that class? How am I going to get my responsibilities at work done? How am I going to take care of the needs in my family back home? How is it that I am going to be able to finish this semester and do what it is that I need to do? And your heart and mind is filled with all of these things. You think about relationships and friendships, and those things are essential. You think about the finances and paying the college bill, and those things are definitely essential. But the Lord says to us that when we seek Him, we can be free from the worry and the care and cast it on Him, for He cares for us. So He says to us, take no thought. You say, well, that's easier said than done. Well, that's the problem. We have to choose to do it, don't we? Now, He gives us a few examples. Notice in verse 26, are you looking there? Behold the fowls of the air, the birds of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap. They don't go out and plow in the fields. They don't go out and reap in the fields. They don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. The birds aren't starving to death. God's taking care of the birds. Are ye not much better than they? The answer, of course, is yes, you are. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought, there's that word again, there's that expression, worry. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Now imagine you want to be taller. There's always people that want to be taller. There's people that want to be skinnier. You don't have to remark about that. There are people who wish they had hair, right? I'm glad you're not remarking about that either. All of us would change something about our appearance if we could, but we can't. And simply worrying about it is not going to help. You see, worry is a futile exercise. We need to exercise faith and trust God. And God is saying, worry is futile. Verse 28, why take ye thought for raiment? That's clothing. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. You don't see the lilies in the clothing store or in the clothing factory, spinning, making garments. No, you don't see that. What do you see? You see the lilies of the field, and they are adorned beautifully. Look at verse 29. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Again in verse 31, therefore take no thought. There's that expression again. I would encourage you in your Bible study to go through chapter 6 and 7, and every time you read the expression, take no thought, underlined it. Because some of us are preoccupied with these worries, these burdens, these thoughts. He said, take no thought, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Let me add just a few. Who am I going to marry? What's going to be my major? Am I going to pass this class? How am I going to pay my bill? How am I going to get a car? Where am I going to live? What am I going to do? The Lord has all the answers. Trust Him. Seek Him first. You see, there is an incredible freedom in serving Jesus. Just simply in childlike faith, know that He loves you and that He's going to take care of you as He said He would. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these, what's the next word? Things shall be added unto you. What's in your list of things? What's in your list? Can I tell you that God knows what's in your list? And God has promised to take care of those things that you need. Verse 34, take therefore, I love it again, here it is, no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You see, here's what we know about our Heavenly Father. He knows our needs. He knows every burden, every desire, every conflict, every struggle in your life, every concern. He knows all about it. And He knows how those needs should best be met. Now, there are times when we think we know how those needs should best be met. But we have to trust the one who truly does know how those needs should best be met. Not only does He know your needs and how they should best be met, but He cares for you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He's known you since the foundation of the world. And He cares about your needs. He hears your prayer. He knows the desires of your heart. And He supplies your needs according to His riches and glory. Hey, I want to tell you, God's bank is never closed. He never runs out of money. He never runs out of wisdom or mercy or grace. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 9. The Lord said, what man is there of you who, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Well, no loving father would do such a thing, would he? Dad, give me bread. Well, here's a rock. Dad, give me a fish. Well, here's a snake. Oh, no. Verse 11, if ye then being evil, being sinful, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? You see, I can seek Him surely, knowing that if I make Him and His righteousness and His kingdom the priority of the pursuit of my life, that I can trust God that He's going to meet the needs of my life. I want to encourage you this morning, examine your own life, what's important to you, what you're seeking after, what you're pursuing, and I want to encourage you to seek you first the kingdom of God. Seek Him sincerely, seek Him supremely, and seek Him surely.
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.